All these people of the Old Testament were equally looking for the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We look back at it now, but their faith is exposed in that they knew there was something better coming. And we know that He is better. As we go through the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 11, the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Next Sunday night, we'll speed things up a little bit, and we'll two more chapters to go, and we'll not be quite as detailed in the last couple of chapters. But tonight, we summarize the chapter on Hebrews 11, starting in verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. As we go through the chapter, there are some people that are named. There are others just mentioned as others, not named at all. These men and women were really among the giants of faith. Their faith is recorded for us to challenge and stir us. Through the entire Old Testament history, we have many records of great feats of faith and people struggling through trouble and trials. Some of the victories were public, some of them miraculous. So there's deliverance from death. Some were private and some rather ordinary, nonetheless, acts of faith. Such as out of weakness were made strong and wrought righteousness. We're not sure what all that means. We have some idea, but I could imagine if they were members of our church, they would be noted. Those are people that are godly people. Those are people of faith. And I'm sure in their day, it was noted that's the kind of people they were. The unbelieving world looked on these believers as cranks, as pests, as refuse. And God, though, says of them, of whom the world was not worthy. In God's eyes, they were great men and women, and someday it will be made known. For people of faith, in this day and hour, probably the world could care less. They are not that interested, and they think you're living for the wrong things. In some cases, they would say, young people, you're wasting your lives. Going to Ireland, what a waste of your life. You could be here in America or someplace making money. And yet, in God's eyes, great men and women of faith. It says, having obtained a good report, being borne witness of. It says, they received not the promise. In other words, the completion of salvation of Christ to come was not yet to take place. Furthermore, of His coming again, the future kingdom, all that has not yet taken place. So none of that happened. It's a reminder to the Hebrew people, these believers that were discouraged and going through trials, don't quit, don't give up. Those people were great people of faith, but they did not yet receive the full completion of promise. Some did, immediately or temporary, but not in its fullest sense. So we know that Christ coming again and taking us up to glory will complete. And that will be the great day and hour of all of our lives. It says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is called an eternal inheritance. Just back a page or so, Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament or New Covenant, that by means of death, or the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The people that are mentioned all walk by faith, believing God, without fully receiving all the things that God had for them. And they were faithful. They just believed God. An eternal inheritance. Abraham did not obtain the very thing promised. He was given a land, and he did receive that. However, the fullest sense of that heavenly city, a city whose builder and maker is God. He did not yet see that. For you and for me today, we have not seen that. We've not been to heaven and back again. We don't know fully what awaits. So we live this life of faith here, being faithful to the Word of God, to read our Bible, to be a witness, to be faithful in church, trying to fulfill all the things the Scripture teaches us that we should do. And we do that daily, routinely. Why? By faith, we just believe that greater day is coming, that one day we'll be with Him and see the fulfillment completely of that promise. Imagine just for a moment what it really would be like. All the trials of this earth is gone, all over. We lay down our burdens where, you know, all the work and sweat and labor of this earth, all the toil has ended. And we come before the Lord. And He says, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And we enter into that place that is prepared for every believer. We can't fully grasp what that'll be like. You don't have to set an alarm clock. You don't have to worry about, oh, is it going to rain today? What's the weather? Is it going to snow? You don't have to worry about, do we have enough money to make it to the end of the month? What are we going to do? We have nothing to worry about. What a place it would be that every day you wake up, no pills, no panic, no problems. We just, it's another day to serve the Lord. Another day to be in His presence. We've not yet been there, but we live as though one day that will happen. And we believe it will. That someday we will be in His presence. He says there is some better thing for us. Go back to Hebrews 7 and verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So better than what they had in the world is what we have in Christ. And what we have in Christ will be in reality when someday we're in heaven. So the object of these two verses is to remind the Hebrew Christians they're ready to lapse back into their Judaism. It's a reminder to them that the promise will come. You may not see it until you're in glory, but be patient, walk by faith, live by faith, keep doing what you know God wants you to do. And as you stay in the will of God and serve Him, one day you'll reap the fruit and result of your faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All these men and women mentioned in Hebrews 11 walked by what they heard, what God said to them, rather than just by what they saw. For David, if he responded by what he saw, he probably wouldn't have fought Goliath. But I believe what he did was by faith. He said, I know what God can do. We see the walls of Jericho come down. I think Joshua probably could have thought, it's impossible. No one could ever penetrate this fortified city. But by faith, he saw something that others couldn't see. God told him what to do. He responded to God. Moses saw something better than living in the house of the palace and the home of Pharaoh's daughter. And he said, if it meant suffering, affliction of the people of God, that'll be better, because one day there's something better that God has for all those that love Him. Better than the palace of the Pharaohs. One day we'll see the reality of it all. Here we are pilgrims on this earth. And they did not walk by what they saw. They walked by faith. Therefore, he's saying to these Hebrew believers, walk by faith. Believe God. Trust God. All these people whom they respected, all those whom they read about and heard about, they didn't receive the promise either, but they were faithful. Far too many people fall to the wayside. Far too many people never mature in Christ. Far too many people get discouraged along the way. And we just keep our eyes on the Lord, looking for that wonderful day someday that promise will be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15:42 says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." So what are we living for? Are we living for the things of this earth, or are we living for the things of eternity? In Matthew it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Amazing things. The people who think, if I live without God and I live my own life, I can be happy and prosperous. And yet, you see their lives destroyed. You see the problems they face, the struggles they face, and the unhappiness they face. How many people are have wealth and fame and yet commit suicide? You think, oh, they have a mansion in Malibu. Boy, they must have it made. And then you read in the paper, they're divorced for the fourth time. Amen. It is not something that people think about. But when you think of following the Bible, living by the Word of God, we not only have heaven, but we have a better life here and now. We have the blessing of God. So they were given a promise, a country it speaks of. And that term is an unusual term. It means a fatherland. It's to go back home. Well, what home they were talking about is back with our Father. There where we belong. "For all the land thou seest, to thee," in Genesis, he said of Abraham, "I will give it. And to thy seed forever." But he did not receive that promise of that city whose builder maker was God. But he did live by faith. Revelation 21. Why don't you turn there with me? It's worth reading to be just remind us again of that place called heaven. Revelation 21, starting in verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. Second foundation, found it, the second sapphire, the third of chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysosphorus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If someone tried to make a movie of what it would be like to be in heaven, it would seem unreal, like it's not possible. We can't even imagine what that place will be like. We have hints of it here and there. Now, that's what Abraham saw and all these great men and women saw in advance. There is something better. There is a celestial city. There is a place of eternal rest. And so by faith, they followed the will of God. Whatever he commanded they do, they followed. The lessons of this chapter are probably more than what we could name. But one thing we can say for sure, God works through faith and faith alone. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We see refrains in between the mention of different people. After the first two, after Abel and Enoch, it goes to verse 6, and there's a reflection. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. And there's three possible reflections throughout that chapter. And each time it reminds us of something, that we are to live by faith. That's the superior way to live, and it's the only way to live. Just believe God. God says it, then follow through with it. Whatever he leads you to do, then do it. If he calls you to a mission field, you go to the mission field. Calls you to the ministry, go to the mission. If he calls you to be a businessman that you can support many ministries, then that's what he wants you to do, then do it. Whatever it is, by faith, maybe just working in a factory and being faithful in your local church, that is not inferior. That's how God called you. Follow through with it. Just by faith, obey God. Do what he's called you to do. So we see that they, by faith alone, obeyed God. And that's why, though they are varied in their backgrounds and their trials and their successes, the one common denominator was faith. They just believed God. Faith. They obeyed what God told them to do. Another thing we see is faith is a gift from God through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. It's something that we cannot work up in ourselves. You can't just say, well, I'm going to believe real hard. If I believe hard enough, it's going to happen. You know, that is not faith. That's emotion. And by faith, it's just clearly God said it. I'm going to follow through with it. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense. You know, God may seem like he's moving somebody along and they think, oh, I've got this job. And then you find out there's no local church there. There's nowhere for me to attend. I would have to be out of church for who knows how long. You think, I can't do it. And then they find out, oh, you stayed and suddenly you got a raise and that other job went kaput. Think how God provided when you just followed what he wanted you to do. Obey, follow by faith. Faith is always tested. You know, I wish that some test never came. But that's how we build our faith. It's when we are tested. Will we obey? The ultimate test I always think of is Abraham offering Isaac. That he so believed in a resurrection that he was willing to take his son's life because God told him to do it. I can't think of anything being more difficult for a father. And he was willing by faith to believe that God would raise him up again. So we have a test of our faith that it seems like it's exciting. You know, you graduate from college, you got missionaries getting ready to go to the field. It's all exciting, you know, and then you get there and you face reality. Oh, man, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. You know, I've worked under my dad for a while. It wasn't that hard. But now, suddenly, it's different. You're in charge. You got to. And I just thought, you come and start a church, you know, you have 100 the first service, 300 the first anniversary, 600 the second anniversary, 1,200 the third anniversary. And then you go around and lecture people about how you did it. I mean, that You know, in your mind, you think of all these things could be done. But it doesn't always work that way. Somebody described the ministry in this way. It's like laying a stone wall. So you start the foundation and you lay a row of block. And then you lay another row of block or stone. And you get on the third row of block, you get about halfway down, you look back and two blocks fell off. And you go back and you patch them up. And then you continue on. You get about the fourth level and suddenly you're constantly going back trying to replace the blocks that keep falling out. And I thought, you know, that sort of describes the ministry. If everybody just got saved and matured right away and everybody faithfully served the Lord, that'd be great, but it doesn't work that way. Before you know it, all you're doing is replacing blocks. You're not building any more wall. But, you know, the Lord just guides and directs us what we ought to do and just be faithful, whatever it is. Be faithful with what He's called you to do. So there, the faith is tested. And there is this better thing. There's a better priest, a better sacrifice, a better sanctuary, a better covenant. As we go through the first chapters, it is better to serve the Lord. It is better to be faithful to God. And if we are faithful, we'll see the blessing of God. F.B. Meyer wrote this. I'm just going to read it. And it's a little bit archaic in some spots, but it was so well stated. I thought it would be interesting to read. So as you look through this long corridor of men and women, he said, shepherds, statesmen, prime ministers, psalmists, poets, border chieftains, prophets, women, martyrs, but they are all trophies of faith. The variety is extraordinary, but the unity is undeniable. Their circumstances and trials were widely different, but in all, the crown of victory was faith's watchword, God is able. There is no kind of need, trial, persecution, experience for which faith is not the sufficient answer. It is the master key for every lock of difficulty. Fit your case into one of the clauses, and what once was shall be again. It is for everyone, you and me alike, just what God has called you to do, what God has given you the opportunity to do. No matter what difficulties come, walk by faith. Just be faithful. And as we are faithful, we will see the blessing of God. These Hebrew Christians needed some encouragement. And the author, I believe, Paul, gave them that encouragement by all the examples and by his detailed explanation of, look, it's not all going to happen in your lifetime. Some of it's future. Some of it's eternal. But live for that which is eternal. Let's bow for prayer tonight.